All right. 2 Timothy chapter number, let's just chapter 3 to start with. Chapter number 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're there. It says perilous times shall come. You can put at least a mental note right there beside the shall has. Perilous times has come. They're here. Why? We're in the last days. We are that generation that shall not pass away. There's people going to be that's in this building this morning. Don't get too blessed by this, but there's people in this building this morning be alive when Jesus comes. Amen. And I expect to be one of them. I don't know that I will be, but I expect to be one of them. I could be, because Jesus could come today. Jesus could come today, man. No doubt about that. But this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts, ever learning but never coming, or never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these that resist the truth. And I believe he's referring also to that list, that 21 or so signs of the last days. I believe he's reaching back and saying about them that they also resist the truth. You live the way you live because of your reception or rejection of the truth. To make light of the Word of God, whether it is printed or preached, is to welcome error in your life. It said, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds. He said, this crowd is the way they are because they're not thinking right. A person that's not living right is making it evident they're not thinking right. You must go astray in your mind before you go astray in your morals. Moral breakdown is at roots a mental issue. Not thinking right. The battle's in the minds. But I noticed there in verse number 8, that's not our text verse, but I just noticed that Paul reached all the way back to Moses' day. And talked about Jannes and Jambres, which withstood Moses. And he's using that in 2 Timothy many, many, many years apart as if to say, men haven't changed. Sin hasn't changed. The devil hasn't changed. We, my friends, should learn from the Word of God the path and patterns of sin. They don't change. Paul could go back a few thousand years before and get an illustration that fit the present day. And then he used that same illustration to talk about this, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And he talked about these same people. That's just the way it is, amen. Well, we have a Bible, and thank God for it. We shouldn't be ignorant concerning what the devil's doing. We're not ignorant of His devices, is what the Bible says. But anyway, let me read that verse again. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men as theirs also was. In other words, there's a reckoning day. You can't live in these verses and be guilty of these last day indicators. You can't live that way without a reckoning day. You choose to live that way, and by the way, I want it to be on record that everybody that fits in chapter 3, verse 1 through 7, or down through verse 9, every one of those were what they were by choice. You can't blame environment. You know, the society tries to use the environment to say, well, you know, people are what they are depending on, you know, their environment. Well, that's not it. It's their depravity. It's their wicked heart. It's their sinful nature that lies at the root of all the fruit of sin. No doubt about that. But if you choose to be guilty of that which is in chapter 3 in these verses we have read, know according to verse 9, there is a reckoning day coming. God will see to it that the end of their life comes, that the end of their sin comes, but they shall proceed no further. God will put an end to it. And by the way, can I say, God one day is going to put an end to it. Thank God, one of these days sin will exist no more. One of these days, praise God, isn't that a blessing? Amen, that's a blessing. And God's going to set it right one of these days for sure. But I'm interested in the service this morning. Back in verse 2, I want to read verse 2 again. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You young people ought to know that. God put your disobedience to parents in the same list with blasphemers and covetousness and without natural affection. He puts being disobedient to parents in the same list, my friend, with sodomites and lesbians without natural affection. Amen. He puts it right in the same list. But he said disobedience to parents. And then notice these next two. Unthankful. Unholy. Unthankful. Unholy. That's what I want to preach on this morning is those two right there. Unthankful. And unholy. Let's pray. Father, I ask your Lord this morning for that special anointing, that special unction that makes preaching effective. Lord, I'm not the least bit interested in just giving a little sermonette to Christianettes. I'm interested in us receiving today a word from the Word. I'm interested today, Lord, you speaking to our heart and, Lord, you challenging our heart and convicting our heart. Work in us, work on us, that you might work through us for your glory. Lord, speak to every heart, save sinners, stir the saints of God. Help us, Lord, to never be guilty, though we all have been guilty of being unthankful. Lord, help us now, we pray. Bring the Word, let it be alive to us here as we look at it and hear from it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. How many of you would think out of this list that is given here, some 21 different things identified in these few verses that would let us see the signs of the last days? The last days are the days prior to the coming of the Lord. And we are in that day. I believe you can look through, thank God, you can look through the Scriptures and see the lights of home. Amen. I believe we're nearing the shore. I believe if we knew just really how close we were to the coming of the Lord, it would probably, no doubt, stir us up. Amen. I doubt anyone would leave here today defeated. I doubt anyone would leave here today half-hearted. Amen. I doubt anyone here would leave lost today if we knew just how close we are to the trumpet sounding this morning. And we are close. It's imminent. It could happen at any moment. It could happen at any moment. But I want to ask you this morning a simple question. How many would agree that this list that Paul gives to identify the last days, how many would you agree that that list identifies separate sins? Would we say that being lovers of their own self, selfishness, you think that would, that's sin? Do we think that being covetous is sin? Boasters, proud, do you think any of that's sin? And we could use that same and go down through the list. But the point I want to make is, since we all agree this morning that this is a list of sin, sins that's going to be prevalent prior to the coming of the Lord. And right embedded in it is the word unthankful. Unthankful. Unholy. Oh, God, help us to know that God don't look at unthankfulness lightly. God lists it in a list with gross sin, wicked sin, ungodly sin. In fact, He puts it right beside of the word unholy. In fact, He mentions it right after the word, right before the word unholy. As if to show they're connected. He uses unthankful and then says unholy to show us that they are connected. One, if you find one, you'll probably find the other. If you find somebody that's unholy, and by the way, God notices and God is interested in whether or not we're holy. And I believe we can take the Bible. We don't even have to use several verses. We could take the Bible in the first chapter of Ephesians and show you the very reason for which God saved you and chose you is that you be holy. God does not save people just to be doing something. God saves you to take you from something and put you into something. Take you away from something and put you into something far better and far greater. Well, where you find unthankful, you'll probably look around and find a lot of evidence of being unholy as well. Amen. There is a connection between gratitude and godliness. Amen. We preach a lot about godliness. We preach a lot about holiness. We preach a lot about living right. And the Bible's not silent about that subject. I know if you listen to a lot of preachers, you'd think the Bible says nothing about being holy. I mean, if you go to some churches, you'd think the Bible is completely silent about being holy and being separated, living a sanctified life. I believe, you know, why? Because it's never preached. But it's all through the Scripture. It's all through the Scripture. Amen. But I want us to look at this thing of the fact that if the devil can get you, if the devil can get you unthankful, then he probably is going to get you unholy. He's not just targeting your gratitude. Although that is a target. Come on now, let me preach. That is a target of the enemy. Because, see, thankfulness is Godward. Thankfulness is to God. Are you listening? And the devil wants to take away anything and everything out of your life that is Godward. He don't care what you profess as long as you don't practice. He doesn't care if you claim to know God as long as you never bow your heart and head and say, "Thank you, Jesus." He don't care as long as in your heart there is ingratitude. Amen. I want to tell you that's just not His target. He targets that unthankfulness, that gratitude, but He targets something else that is the very essence and the very character of God, and that is holiness. Devil don't want you to be interested in gratitude, and he doesn't want you to be interested in godliness. Those two goes together. Amen. Amen. I believe that, don't you? But we're living in perilous days. Everybody would agree with that. We're in perilous days, meaning that we're living in difficult days. And Paul is not giving this list here to excuse our coldness. Oh, come on now. Paul's not giving this list to let us say, oh, I've got a way out. I've got an excuse for my carnality. And you know, Paul said that it was going to be perilous days. So that preacher, that's why I'm not faithful to church, and that's why I don't pray, and that's why that I'm not reading the Word of God, and that's why I'm not witnessing, and that's why I don't hand out tracts. You know, preacher, I'm just really having a tough time. According to this verse, everybody's going to have a tough time. This know also that in the last days, perilous, difficult times, dangerous times, demonic times. That's what the word means. Perilous means difficult, dangerous, demonic, furious, and fierce. It's not going to get easy. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to. I'm not no little silver-tongued preacher this morning to tell you it's going to get better. Well, I can tell you it's going to get better, but just not here. Hey, man, we've got a better home. Thank God we've got a better... everything's up ahead. The best is yet to come for God's people. But far as the here and now, it may not get better. But I want you to know that this list and the condition of the day prior to the coming of the Lord is no excuse for our low living and lack of spirituality. Amen. I don't know how many people I've talked to about their life spiritually, and they would use some difficulty as an excuse. They would use some valley, some burden, some problem, some battle, something tragedy, something happened in their life. And we probably all know people that's had something happen to them, and all of a sudden they're out. I was at a meeting this week, and I didn't say much about it earlier. Actually forgot to, but we was at a meeting this week, and the preacher, I was talking to him about a man in his church. I didn't know the first time I'd ever been to the church, and didn't know nobody or nothing, know very little about the preacher. And he said, well, his wife used to come with him all the time. And he said this particular tragedy, and he identified it, came into their life, and he said she's never been to church since. Oh, I want to tell you, friend, perilous times and difficult times and unexplainable times and uninvited times and unwelcome times and unwanted times is not an excuse, my friend, for us to turn our back on God and get bitter against God, amen, and let our spiritual life go down the tubes. No, the devil is behind this list. The Holy Spirit's not producing none of this. All of this is of the devil. Would we not agree with that? That this all of this is of the devil. Then unholiness or ungodliness and being unholy and being unthankful, that's also of the devil. Wouldn't you agree with that? And again, he puts them in here to help define and describe the last days that'll be perilous and demonic and so forth. Oh, help us, Lord. We need to be thankful this morning. I'm sure we all could look around this morning and find something negative. We all could look around this morning and find something to whine and complain about. And I want to tell you, regardless to any of that and all of that, there's still more to thank God for if we'll just purposefully engage our mind and our attention and our heart to look at those things. When's the last time you just took the physical and looked at the physical and say, thank God for my heart beating. Thank God for my lungs functioning. Thank God for my arteries. And thank God for my blood and the blood cells. And thank God for my organs. And thank God for my little toe. Amen. And thank God, thank God for my fingernails. Amen. Thank God for my ears. And thank God, you could go from head to toe and spend an hour thanking God for the physical. God's been good to us physically. Said, preacher, you don't feel the way I feel. If you felt the way I felt, you wouldn't say that. Oh, but still you're blessed. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? As Brother Darrell prayed earlier, I guarantee you we could go just right out here at the rest home, and I guarantee you could go to about any room you want to walk in, and there'd be many of them out there glad to swap places with you. There'd be a lot of them, Brother Mark, glad to swap places. We could probably go to Holston Valley Hospital and find a lot of people glad to swap places with us this morning. And I mean ultimately, Brother Jeff, ultimately we could go to hell and find all of them willing to switch places with us today. I'm telling you, God has been and is and forever shall be good. God is good. And I bless His holy and righteous and altogether lovely name. I want to tell you, I don't deserve His touch. I don't deserve His smile. I don't deserve His help. I don't deserve it. Thank God. Bless His name. He's been good to us physically. He's been good to us materially. Oh, you think about it. I don't know. I'd have to look, but I'd say that probably not a one of us had to walk to church this morning. I'd say that none of us materially had to walk because we had a car to get in. Amen. Materially, I'd say some of you here this morning, I don't know for sure, I'd have to ask, look around, but I'd say none of you slept under a bridge last night. I doubt some of you covered up with a piece of cardboard, my friend, to try to get a little shelter from the night cold. I dare say that happened to any of us. I'm telling you, God's been good to us materially, with a roof over our head and clothes on our back and shoes on our feet and a bed to sleep in. God has been good to us materially. God's been good to us. God's been good to us financially. God's been good to us spiritually. God's been good to us socially. I mean, you think about it. Right here, some of the best people in the world. And I get to go to church with you this morning. Oh, you can't beat that. Are you listening? Boy, God's been good to us nationally. I know America's sick, but it's still the greatest country on planet Earth. If it's not so good, then you tell me why everybody from all other countries is making such an effort to get here. Amen. I mean, they're coming in every way, form and fashion, swim, boats, and amen, and everything else to try to get here. Why? Because it's noised abroad throughout the world that America's a blessed country. America's blessed. You know why? It's founded on the principles of God's Word. It started out with our forefathers, my friend, wanting to make much of God. Amen. That's right. And use the Word of God as our guideline. Yes, sir. Amen. God's been good to us nationally. God's been good to us domestically. What about our families? How many of us got up this morning and thanked God for our family? Let me give you this word. I mean, I could preach on all those, but God's been good to us ecclesiastically. And that's just another word for the church. Last time I looked, none of you are sitting in a Mormon church this morning. None of you are at a Muslim mosque this morning. None of you are at a Kingdom Hall this morning. Are you listening? None of you are, my friend, sitting on some seat in some cult somewhere. No, you're sitting in an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Jesus-loving, sin-hating, devil-hating, amen, local assembly. Thank God, God has blessed us to have a church that we can come to and sit down and know that we're with the family of God and we're going to hear the truth. Oh, God's been good to us. And on we could go. God's been good to us. What lies behind the ingratitude and being unthankful is just you don't have a list. You just hadn't itemized. You just hadn't looked at details. Just hadn't looked at it. And I was thinking, you know, about the message this morning, and I thought, what is it that would help us to be thankful? And one would be to try to imagine what it'd be like without it or without them. I mean, to me, that would promote thankfulness, is to try to imagine what it'd be like without it. And ultimately, at the top of that list, what would it? Try to imagine what it'd be like without Jesus. Just think of where you'd be without Him. Just think of where you were without Him. And He came along looking for you when you wasn't looking for Him. And amen, you was on His heart when He wasn't on yours. And you was on His mind when He wasn't on your mind. And oh yes, I mean, you think about it this morning. Paul said it well and said it best. I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul is saying that without the Lord, he'd still be a church persecutor. He'd still be a murderer. He'd still be a God hater. But thank God for that amazing intervening grace of God that came and got in his life and saved him and changed him and made him a preacher. I mean, you think of what it'd be like without Him. That song, what would I do without Jesus? Where would I be without Jesus? Brother Craddock said, opening Sunday school, if it hadn't have been for Jesus, he sure wouldn't have been here opening up this morning. How many of you would have been in church this morning if it wasn't for the work and the person and power of Jesus in your life? How many of you last night or Friday night, had not it been for the work of grace, you'd have been somewhere you shouldn't have been. You'd have been on a bar stool somewhere, a dance floor, or some honky-tonk. Are you listening? But I want to tell you, as far as me, Friday night, I was in the house of God, preaching the Word of God, and saw a young boy get born into the family of God. Oh, hallelujah. But I didn't used to be in church on Friday and sure wasn't preaching. No, sure wasn't preaching and sure wasn't interested in people getting saved and a church getting revived and people being stirred up. No, no, no. I was interested in what felt good to the flesh and what my friend could be classified as unholy. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think that promotes gratitude is when you just try to imagine yourself without it. Disobedient to parents, Brother Jeff. Think about this. You young people, would you take a few minutes and just try to think of what it'd be like if your mom and daddy was gone? I know you can't comprehend that. I know. I couldn't. I didn't think nothing like that. I thought mom and daddy was eternal. I thought they was going to live forever, you know. But how many of you young people this morning was appreciative of the fact that when you woke up this morning, one or both of your parents was in the house? What have you done, young lady, young man? What have you done this morning that's kept you out of the orphan list? Huh? Are we listening this morning? By the way, that disobedient to parents just right there in front of being unthankful. Hey man, if the devil can work in your home to get you disobedient to parents, he's well on his way to getting you unthankful, and then he's well on his way to getting you to be unholy. So actually you could say a life of sin usually starts at the house. A life of sin usually starts in your relationship to parents. Being disrespectful, being disobedient to parents. Are you listening? You young people, don't think light of that. God cataloged that sin right in with unholy and unthankful and lovers of their own selves and without natural affection and all of that list. He put that right in there with it. But I thought about that. That's what would take and help us to try to be grateful, is to think of what it'd be like without it. Think of what it'd be like without some of your physical abilities. I never thought about it until just now. Brother Jeff, I tied my shoe this morning. And I actually had a foot to put it on. And had two hands. I couldn't imagine trying to tie my shoe with one hand. Had two hands that had fingers that could grip. and a mind that could comprehend which way to move it to get it to tie a knot. You say, preacher, is that a blessing? It's blessings that we never think about. It's blessings we never think about. Just a little something like that. Just a little something like that. Just a little something like that. Are you listening? Well, amen, my soul. I mean, we could go on and on and on, but I want to just kind of hone in to this unthankful and unholy just for a few minutes tonight, for the Lord to help us with it. The word unthankful only appears two times in your New Testament. One, in the text that we read, men shall be unthankful. The other is in Matthew chapter number 6. If you turn there, Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. I want you to look at that just right quick. Keep your place, 2 Timothy 3, but look at Luke 6 and verse 35. He comes right out of dealing with how to deal with enemies. Let's just jump back there and verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. We refer to that as the golden rule. For if you love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what think ye? A think have ye, for sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have that ye hope to receive, what think of ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But he's fixing to change it now. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be children of the highest. Now watch this next statement. For he who? The highest. God Almighty. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. What about the usage of that word unthankful in that context? You say, I preach, I tell you what, they're this and that. Hey, are they treating you any worse than the way we treated God? The Bible says that He's kind unto the unthankful. God is kind to us when we're not thankful. Not as a condonement, not as an approval, but hopefully as what the verse says, the goodness of God would lead men to repentance. But here's the point the Lord showed me, that in Luke 6:35, He shows this word unthankful. He shows this kindness to the unthankful, showing us God's actions or God's treatment of man. But in the usage of unthankful in 2 Timothy 3, it is man's treatment of God. Unthankful in Luke 6, God is kind to the unthankful. It is in the context, God is good and God blesses those that don't deserve it. That's God's treatment of us. But the unthankful in our text is our treatment of God, being unthankful. This whole list, I don't know if you noticed this, but this whole list of people are people that are religious. Did y'all notice that? You say, preacher, it don't sound like religious people. It sounds like wicked people. But yeah, they're religious. In fact, here's what he said. He said that this crowd will be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. In other words, this crowd will testify, I love God. But the issue is, they love pleasures more. Also in verse number 5, having a form of godliness. This crowd is going to have a religious aspect about them, but no power. No power. Verse 7 said this crowd's going to be ever learning. They're probably going to have a Bible and they're probably sitting in a Sunday school class and ever learning. They're going to be exposed and hear it. but never come to the knowledge of what? The truth. And right on down through the line. Verse 8, there was, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. Moses was God's man. A lot of this crowd right here are sitting in front of some preachers this morning. I didn't say sit in front of this preacher, I said sit in front of preachers this morning. I hope there's none here, amen. But unthankful. Unthankful deals with gratitude. Unholy deals with godliness. And I wrote this down, that ingratitude is the root of iniquity. If a devil can get you unthankful, he won't have any problems getting you unholy. And let me make this statement here, hope we all get it, that if we're unthankful, don't be surprised what you'll end up doing. Because unholy comes right behind unthankful. If he can get you without gratitude, he will get you without godliness. Amen. If he can get you to the point where you're not thankful, then no telling what you'll do. I believe in light of that statement right there, I believe that gratitude is one of the greatest preventions of getting away from God. I want y'all to get that. Lord, give that to me while the choir was singing. I believe that while, listen, gratitude, thankfulness is what should keep us out of that unholy list. Gratitude is one of the great preventions of getting away from God. Let me ask you something. How could you possibly get away from God when you're constantly thanking Him? When you're constantly thanking Him personally and privately and publicly. How could a person quit on God when about every service nearly, they would just stand up and shout, "Preach, I just want to thank the Lord and mean it. Thank the Lord for saving me. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. I'm just a product of Calvary. I'm glad I've been saved. God's good to me." That attitude's got to go before you leave and get out of the things of God. Somebody better hear that word this morning. That's just not preaching. That's something somebody better hear this morning. That gratitude is the prevention of you getting away from God. When you get see your listen, when you see your gratefulness leave, when you see your gratitude leave, amen, experience, felt, expressed, all of it, when you see it starting to dwindle and leave, you better know that you're headed into the unholy list. You're headed, my friend, to do things that you know that would not be pleasing to God. Amen. Start taking things for granted and your gratitude will leave. Take your home for granted and your gratitude will leave. Take your parents for granted and your gratitude will leave. And take your children for granted and your gratitude leaves. Take your church and right on down the big list we could add. Take it for granted and your gratitude will leave. And when your gratitude leaves, then the door swings wide open for you to get away from God. We better hear this. I hope we hear it anyway. Gratitude is the attitude that influences the heart and has reflection in the life. In other words, gratefulness will show up in how you live. If you're grateful, it'll affect how you live. And so if that is so, take away the gratefulness and then it will affect how you live. So if you take away the thankfulness and the gratefulness and the fact that God's been good to you, then my friend, don't be surprised that you could call the preacher one day and say, "Preacher, I cannot believe that I've done this. And I can't believe that I've done that. I can't believe that I'm in this mess. I can't believe my life is in a wreck. Oh, help us, Lord." He can get you unthankful. He can get you unholy. No doubt about that. Let me give you this right here. I've got a lot more, but let me just give you this right here. Just run through this quickly. Look in chapter 3. Well, actually, let's go back into chapter 2 of 2 Timothy right quick. I believe we've about got the message anyway, but I want to just share this with you. Just something to think about, some seed thoughts to think about how serious it is to be unthankful. If you'll notice in chapter 3 and verse 1, what's the third word? This know also. Now that word also reaches back and connects chapter 3 with what has just been talked about in chapter 2. Is that right? He said, I want you to know this in chapter 2, but this know also. I want to add to that. I want to hook up with that and proceed further. This know also. So in light of that word also, I have the scriptural right to go back into chapter 2. And I believe that we can find in chapter 2, and you can just write these down, verse 19, 20, and 21, that you can find out that those that are unthankful, number one, will be people that are not meet for the Master's use. People that are not thankful will be people that the Lord cannot use, as He talked about in verse 19 and 20 and 21. Let's just read verse number 20. But in a great house there... Well, let's read 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Now, how are they identified? His. How are they identified? And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. God said that. I didn't say that. God said that. That the indicator and the identifier of a person that's His is that they are departing from iniquity. Their attitude towards sin. Their relationship towards sin. Amen. Look at verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. You say, well, preacher, which one am I? The one that you choose to be. Because look at the wording of the next verse. If, starts out with an if. If a man therefore purge himself, from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. In other words, you can choose to be a vessel of honor. Sanctified and meet for the Master's use. It's not a matter of predestination. It's not a matter of the sovereignty of God chose me to be a vessel of dishonor. That don't even make sense. It's not a matter of that. It's not a matter of the sovereign's will. It's a matter of self's will. If a man therefore will purge himself, he will depart from iniquity. If he will be clean, he'll be meet for the Master's use. And I believe that if we're unthankful and unholy, that we will not be usable in the hands of the Master, in the plans of the Master. And we could say more about that, but look on. Chapter 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow. Note the word flee and follow. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. You notice that? Flee and follow. So I just simply made a point that a person, if they're unthankful and unholy, they will have a fleeing and a following problem. They'll be fleeing what they should follow, and they'll be following what they should be fleeing. That's a good statement that summarizes that point. Amen? We're to follow. You could preach this. I mean, there's your points. Follow what? Righteousness. Follow righteousness. Faith. Charity. Peace. There's some good things to follow. Amen? But a lot of times people, when they're unthankful, will flee what they should follow and follow what they should flee. And then thirdly, verse 22 through 24, they will have a fellowship problem. Notice the verse. I quit reading there on purpose. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them. I'm talking about a fellowship problem. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That crowd that is unthankful and unholy probably is running around with the unthankful and the unholy. More than likely, birds of a feather flock together. More than likely, you're going to mirror yourself in your friends. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Amen. If you can't pick a friend, you can't pick a mate. Amen. Flee youthful lust. Follow righteousness and those in that list with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. One of the good ways of being a grateful person is hang around godly people. Being a grateful person, run around with people that will promote that in your life. Amen. Run around with people that's going to be saying, thank you, Jesus, right often. Hang around folks that's going to say, bless the Lord, frequently. Amen. Don't hang around that crowd that's going to tell dirty jokes and cuss and everything else in the book. Don't run around with that crowd. My friend, they'll cause you to flee what you should follow and follow what you should flee. Hang around that crowd that's calling upon the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. That's following righteousness and peace and faith and charity and right on down the line. Number 4, verse number 26. Notice this. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now watch this. I mean, if you look at verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, and you take that also, and if you go backwards with the also, the first thing you go to is the snare and the trap and the captivity of the devil. If you go backwards also, this know also. Said, I want you to know that most of those in this list, this is what I believe Paul is saying, those that's in this list, including the unthankful, are those that have a freedom problem in that they are in a snare, they have been taken captive, they are in a trap. And notice this, it said they are taken captive by him at his will. You're doing what he wants you to do. The devil. You're doing what the devil wants you to do. Think about life's choices. Think about it. Is God telling me to do this, or is the devil telling me to do this? I was talking about in our class this morning about life is full of choices and so forth. And I said, it's like a car. I said, you can't just put your spiritual life in neutral. And I asked a question. It wasn't deep, but I asked a question. I said, what happens to a car when you put it in neutral? I said, immediately, you take it out of control. The car is not in control of whether it goes forward or backwards. What happens when you put a vehicle in neutral, guess what happens? The surroundings and the circumstance and the terrain and all of that starts taking over. Starts taking over, and whether you go forward or backwards is not up to you, but up to just which way the wind's blowing and which way the terrain is laying. But I said one thing about it though. You've got something else on board a vehicle, and you better find out where it's at. And that's the brakes. When you see your life going in the wrong direction, when you see your life, my friend, making some wrong turns, don't look for somebody to blame it on. Don't look for an excuse to make, my friend, and don't say, that's just the way it is. Put your foot on the brake, sit there a minute and try to figure out, which way am I going? What can I do to change it? What can I do to alter it? Amen. And that same hand that put your gear in neutral is the same hand that can put it in drive and go forward for the glory of God. Yes, sir. Amen. That is a freedom problem. When you're unthankful, don't make light of that. That's the devil's fingerprints. When you're unthankful, that's sure evidence that the devil has luring you into his snare and trap. Am I right? This know also that perilous times shall come. And he gave the list, and sad to say, I wonder as I read that, and as you heard me read it, I wonder how many of them down through there we could say, guilty. Guilty. But you know what the truth is? Most of them, just about all of them, I could say, not guilty by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. And I'm not going to go through the list and identify some of them, but I mean, really. But what about that one right there? Unthankful. What about unthankful? If you can get, listen, and I know we preached, Lord's helped us, and we're not now done. But listen to this truth right here. And I've said it already two or three times. I want to drive it home because it summarizes the whole point. If the devil can get you unthankful, he can get you unholy. There is a connection, inseparable connection, between gratitude and godliness. Unthankful is your attitude towards the sovereign. Unholy is your action towards sin. If the devil can affect your attitude toward God, the next step is what? Action. Sinful action. And again, you know, you've heard it. You've heard it. Gratitude is the great prevention against you getting away from God. Are we grateful this morning? Let's all stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You. I want to thank You, Lord, for giving us good liberty, Lord, to preach this morning. Lord, thank You for speaking to our hearts. Lord, I know there's a lot in that list that most in this church service this morning would say, thank God that's not in my life. Thank God that's not in my life. But oh, Father, the devil desires, when he knows he can't get, Lord, some of those that are more wicked and more heinous and we'd look down on more quickly. If he can't get those in our life, if he can't work those in our life, he will be content to work unthankfulness in our life. Because if he can get us unthankful, he can get us away from God. If he can get us unthankful, he can get sin in our life. If he can get us selfish, he can get us sinful. Father, I pray You'll take the message and drive it home. Lord, I can preach it, but I can't open people's hearts and put it in it. Lord, I can preach to their physical ears, but I can't make it go into their spirit. And Lord, I pray there'll be a congregation of people today that'll see how dangerous that unthankfulness is. And God, we'd see how, Lord, who it is that's behind it, and Lord, what His intents are, and not just for us, but to get back at God and to bring damage to the work of God. Lord, I pray You'd help us this morning to realize, God, You've been good. We need to take the roll call of Your blessings in our life to just see, Lord, that yes, we are blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. Lord, You told us to be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Lord, You told us to enter in to Your gates with thanksgiving and into Your courts with praise. You told us to do that. Lord, I wonder this morning how many folks in the building that's grateful. Lord, not just verbal gratefulness, but visible gratefulness. Gratitude that shows up in the attitude. Lord, gratitude that shows up in our godliness and shows up in our life. And Lord, if we're forever grateful, we'll not be quitters. And Lord, we'll not look for a way out. And we'll not look to be slack and slothful, but that, Lord, we'll press on toward the mark. Paul, I believe, the writer of that book, penman of that book, of 2 Timothy, encountered all kinds of pressures and problems and troubles and letdowns and devastations. But he said, none of these things move me. And he gave the reason, neither count I my life dear unto myself. It's not about me. It's about bringing honor to Jesus. Regardless of what we go through, help us, Lord. And gratitude is not something You put on us, but it is a choice we make. Help us to be thankful, not just in this week of Thanksgiving and November, but Lord, every day, every week, we'd be thankful and spend some time every day expressing that to You and exhibiting that for You, that we are thankful. Have Your way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.